Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC.
As we kick off this new year, I want to bring an encouragement from God's Word, something hopefully that's going to be practical and applicable for each one of us. We've been walking through the Bible for the past year, since Easter, slowly walking through the Old Testament, chronologically leading, building in, and each week we see something that's pointing outside of itself, pointing out to one who is to come. And finally, we've made it into the New Testament. And so we don't have to look in like shadows and mirrors and what is this talking about. We get to look boldly into the seed of the woman. We get to look boldly at the promised lamb of Abraham. We get to look boldly at the new, true, and Passover lamb. His name is Jesus. He's our God. He's our Savior. And I cannot wait to look at the life of the man that I follow, the one I call Lord and Savior, and read the pages that he is presented upon to us as a church so that we can boldly look at him and follow him together. I'm excited about this. Following Jesus is called discipleship, and it's a word that I hope to use more and more, and it simply means this: following Jesus. Following Jesus. We make disciples here at this church, and disciples, again, are people who follow Jesus. You will not become a disciple of Shino. You will not become a disciple of Ailsa or Nathan. You will become, here at Every Nation, a disciple of Jesus. And our hope, though, is that we can do this together as we look at Jesus, that we become more like him, that we become transformed by him. And so I'm so excited to be looking directly at what Jesus had to teach us. There's a moment that his disciples sit down with him, and they've seen him doing miracles, and they've seen him calming storms and healing the sick. And there's a moment in Matthew where it says he healed every disease. And then they brought all the sick and afflicted to him. So he's healing everybody that they can find. And the disciples sit down with Jesus and say, where's this power coming from? Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how this connection between you and heaven happens. God, what's going on here? And Jesus starts to expound, this is how we pray. And we're going to take a look at a passage that I would imagine that most of us have heard. If you grew up in church, if you've been around church for any number of your life, Catholic church, Protestant church, wherever you're from, you've probably heard this passage and this prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples. And tonight we're going to look at that. We're going to pray it together. And we're going to pull out a couple of points that hopefully resonate with you in your prayer life, wherever you find your prayer life right now. Whether you're on the mountaintop or the valley low in your prayer, whether it's been, 10 minutes since you prayed or 10 years, hopefully there's something here for each and every one of us. And it's going to encourage us to take the next step in our prayer life so that 2020 is the most prayer-filled year of your life yet. It's the most spiritually developed year of your life yet. As we roll into New Year's, there's resolutions. And I would encourage you guys to put on the top of your list a spiritual resolution. Whatever that is for you, whether it's praying every day or reading the Bible in a year or reading the Bible at all, wherever you're at, take your next step. Develop your life spiritually. It's just like developing your life physically. If you don't use it, then you're going to lose it. And God is calling us into more. If you felt disappointed by God, there's more. There's more to him. If you felt let down or abandoned by God, he's the one that says, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. There is more. If you've experienced the heights of having prayers answered and walking with him and seeing exactly what's around the corner and God highlighting and illuminating each and every step so that you're walking with him and your life is synced up, even then, there's more. And God is calling us as a church into the next level. And so I would encourage each of us to put on the top of your list a spiritual resolution, something that's going to develop your spiritual man, because as much as each one of us want to end 2020 with six-pack abs, those are not going to last. Those will all die. 100% of six-pack abs die. but 100% of spiritual men and women who are with Jesus raised to eternal life, and we better develop that man and that woman, no matter how shredded we are, and put some effort into that person, because that one is the one that's going to last, okay? So we're going to get shredded spiritually, physically. I'm drinking more water. Got water challenges coming at me. I've got physical challenges coming at me, relational, financial. Let's also hit the spiritual. That's the one that's going to last. All right. So Jesus teaches his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6. He says this, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. And truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they're going to be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Instead, pray like this." And church, I'm just going to encourage us. Let's stand together. Words are on the screen. And we're going to pray this prayer. I'm sure many of us have done this before. Ready? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen." Thank you, church. You can be seated. And Jesus goes on to say this, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." God, I pray that as we walk through this passage, Lord, that each one of us would spark something new. God, that we would see 2020 in a new light. We'd see it full of new potential, full of new spiritual potential. God, that you'd start to give us a vision for what it would look like to get spiritually jacked, as it were. What would it look like to lift spiritual weight, to pray spiritual prayers, to believe for spiritual things in our lives? God, what does a new spiritual man or woman look like bursting out of each one of us? God, I pray that you'd give us a vision for that person that you're developing us into. And Lord, that we start to put these things into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. When it comes to prayer, what I find is that prayer reveals our motivations. It just lays us bare, and prayer can be kind of scary because of this. It's all about motivation. I know so much about people when I listen to them pray. And oftentimes it goes something like this: "Dear God, I need this, please give me that." And I know that prayer well because I have two little children, and I've been teaching them how to ask for things, because typically it goes like this: "I'm thirsty." Okay. Let's back up. Genuinely, this is how it starts every time. They just walk into the room and announce their need. Because they're children, they're babies. And I say, "Okay, what do you want to do about that?" And then they back up and they go, "Can I have a glass of water?" I'm like, "Absolutely." Because I'm a decent dad. I'm not the best dad in the world, but I like to give you water. You know, it's free, it's included in the rent, so here you go, kid, knock yourself out. Like, I'm a pretty decent dad. But you can see what's in their heart. Their heart is they're thirsty and they just want to take care of themselves. And it's not bad, but their heart is exposed in that moment. And typically our prayers are quite like that. We just launch into, "God, here's what I need. God, this is what I want. God, this is what I where I've been and where I've been. And this is what I'm doing. And God, this is what I need. Amen." Have we ever paused to think you're telling the creator of the universe, who has a plan, who's existed for all of time, who's going to weave all of the tragedy and brokenness of this world into one glorious, beautiful reunion in heaven where he unites heaven and earth, and he's going to involve your life and the brokenness and the disappointments of your life into something beautiful and bigger than you've ever imagined? Have you ever paused to think that he might have a different plan or a different way of answering your prayer? And then oftentimes these bad prayers don't get answered, and they lead to disappointment, and they lead to worse prayers, and they lead to disillusionment and despondence, and then we just give up. And it's because we've been praying bad prayers. Because we never pause to wonder, God, what's your plan? Oh, we could ask, or we could pray a different way, or we could examine the motivations of our heart. And so prayer just opens up our motivations. I find many times that people pray for the thing that is their true God. They ask God to come, the God of heaven and earth, the God who created and designed the whole world, to come and serve their little God of career or family or so many good things that we've created into ultimate things. And so prayer just reveals our motivations. Oftentimes we don't pray because we've like, God, I've got this. I got this on lockdown. I can handle this. You know, my relationship is good. I don't need your help, God. I'm afraid that you're going to come into my relationship and mess it all up anyways. So how about this, God? You stay over there. I'll stay over here. I'll just not pray. As though, like, not praying is going to keep God at bay or something. As though he's not good in the first place, which, by the way, is the lie that the snake came to Adam and Eve and said, God's not really good. Did he really say? And we're just participating in that story. When we try to keep God out of some part of our life that we think that we've got on lockdown. Another reason that we oftentimes don't pray is because we don't feel worthy. We're like, oh, God wouldn't answer my prayer because I've not been living for him, or it's not been 10 minutes, it's been 10 years since I've ever prayed. You know, I've been drunk, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, or whatever your excuse is, forgetting that we're saved by grace, we pray by grace, God answers prayers by grace. When God answers my prayers, it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because he's gracious and he's good. When God answers Shino's prayers, it's not because he's a pastor. It's not because he did it right, though he did it right. It's because God is gracious and God is good. That is our hope. That's our, every time we go to God, we're saved by grace. God answers our prayers by grace. God hears our prayers by grace. It's not because we did the right formula. Remember that at the beginning of the thing Jesus said, don't lay up all these words like the Gentiles do, forgetting God already knows what you need. God already knows what you need. Before you say a word, God already knows. And then you pray like this, our Father. Our Father. Just remember, we have so many experiences with our dads here on earth, but we do have one good Father in heaven. We've got a good Father in heaven. And so his desire is to get you that cup of water. Not because it's included in the rent, but because he loves you. Because he's crazy about you. He's wild about you. He wants to provide your needs. He wants to provide your daily bread. He wants to give you the best of heaven. He wants to give you the riches of all that he has. He wants to press all of heaven into earth through you if you'll just be ready to receive it. God is bursting at the seams with what he desires to do. I love Favor's testimony. Of God calling her to give and her feeling in that moment, I'm with you, Favor. I would feel like God's trying to take from me too. God's not trying to take, though. He's trying to position us to give more than we can handle, more than we can imagine. God's trying to position us to give, for him to give. And so there's all sorts of reasons that we hold back our prayers. There's all sorts of reasons that and schemes that we think up in our minds of why we're not good enough or how we've got the situation altogether ourselves. But God wants to not just involve himself in your life, but involve you in his life. God wants to get your life into the life of heaven, into the plans that start to bring life and fullness and goodness into New York City, into your family, into your job, into your career, into your education, into your family. He wants to involve you in his good work through all of the world. And so he's calling us in. He's beckoning us in. Why are we keeping him at arm's length? I find that prayer, I do my best to describe it, but oftentimes the answer is kind of like riding a bike. Has anybody ever tried to describe how to ride a bike? It's impossible. And the more you know, the more dumb you get, you know, about centripetal forces and the laws of physics that are able to keep this two-wheeled magic upright. I mean, it's just magic. Let's just be honest. There might be a physicist in the room. It's okay. It's just magic. I don't know why you went to school for that. It's magic. you're an idiot. It's okay. It's magic. But the more you know about the bike, it doesn't help you. The answer is to get on the bike and just start going. Just start going. The answer of how to ride a bike is just like, get on that thing, pedal like crazy, and forget your physical body for just a minute and just go. Just start going. And that is how you ride a bike. Just start going. And prayer is a little bit like that. It's a mystery. Whose will is being accomplished? Our will, God's will? I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But here's what I do know. God's asked us to pray. And he's going to move heaven when we start praying. And he's going to connect heaven and earth on your prayers. And he's going to start to move in some mighty ways if we'll just start offering up our time and bringing into his presence a sacrifice of praise and a sacrifice of thanksgiving and start to lay down our life on his altar and say, God, I would rather your will than my will. God, I want your kingdom over my kingdom. God, I don't just want the kingdom of God, but I want the king of the kingdom of God in my life. Jesus, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let my will in. God, invade my family. God, invade my thoughts. God, invade my Netflix time. God, start to mess with my life. Invade my finances, God. Start to move through my life. When we start to pray these bold prayers, when we start to offer up our 2020, God's going to start to move. He's going to start to creep in. And I don't know whose will starts to happen. Our will because we prayed it, or God's will because we asked for his will. Something amazing starts to happen, and we start to ride a bike, or we start to pray, or God's kingdom starts to move through our lives. Just start to do it. At some point, we've just got to do it. So prayer reveals our motivations, and it's scary. But the good news is that prayer also changes us. When we don't just walk in and yell our prayer request at God, but we start to approach him the way that God has offered to us to approach him, it starts to change us. And you'll notice that there's a movement to prayer. There's an upward and a downward movement to prayer. It starts with this, our Father who's in heaven. And so we start in here on earth with words like our, like words that link us into our community, that link us into our surroundings. So we say, our Father who's in heaven. And then we start to praise him. God, hallowed be your name. Praise you, Lord. And we start to lift our eyes up off of us and onto him. And then we start to praise him and worship him. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. We start to value him over us. Your will be done. Start to value his will over our will on earth. Now we're starting to round the corner. We've climbed the mountain. Now we're starting to come back down on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Oftentimes when I go into the presence of God, I know I want something. I know I need forgiveness for something. And the temptation is to start there. But here's the thing. Oftentimes God can answer the prayer and you don't even know it because you're still valuing the things of earth over the things of heaven. It can look like this. You know that you messed up at your work. You're racked with shame. And you go into God's presence. You say, God, I need your help. I need forgiveness. Ah, amen. You walk out still feeling racked with shame, racked with guilt, and like a total failure. Why? Because you still value your job over God. You still value what happens in that workspace, your dignity, your honor. You still feel the shame, and all of that world is far more real than the world of heaven. Because you've not taken any time to value the kingdom of heaven over the kingdom of earth. God could have answered your prayer, forgiven you, given you a new heart, changed your boss's mind about you, cleaned up the situation that you caused you know, miraculously while you were praying, but you still feel like a pile of garbage because we've not taken the time to climb the mountain and do the movement of prayer. To start to say, God, I value your will over my will. I value your kingdom over my kingdom. I value your job over my job. I value your words over my words. I value what you say about me over what my boss says about me. I value your work in my life over my work in my life. Now we have the power to actually start to say, God, forgive me. Help me. And he says, I've got this. And now we can hear it. There's a movement to prayer. Prayer changes us as we do it, but we've got to approach the way that God has asked us to approach. Prayer does changes us in a number of ways. The first thing that it does is that it humbles us. If you ever walked out on a starry night and you've got to get outside of the city at some point and look up, it's been a long time since I've seen a star. And sometimes I see one. I'm like, I think that's a star. Got to get outside, look up, and when you see the vast array of the galaxy out there, and you see the Milky Way kind of streaking across the sky, it does something, and it puts you in a beautiful, humble sort of place where you go, God, this world is so much bigger than me. And when we start to pray, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. God, your world is valuable to me. Your thoughts are valuable to me. It's like looking at the array of stars, and it just puts us in the right place. It's interesting when you look at the night sky, you feel so small, but yet not insignificant. You feel so powerless, and yet also so powerful at the same time, so found. So little and so found at the same time. It's such a weird thing, and I believe that prayer is designed to do the same exact thing. It's like getting outside the city, standing with your bare feet in some warm grass, and looking at the stars. That's what prayer is supposed to do. And we wonder why we're dealing with so much mental illness and anxiety. It's because we don't look at the stars. We don't find ourselves. We don't humble ourselves in the presence of an almighty God, the one who made us, the one who designed us, the one who's mad about us and not mad at us. He's mad about us, the one who loves us. Church, let's do this in 2020. Anxiety is going to melt as we stand in the presence of almighty God. And he tells us, child, I've got it. You can trust me. I've got it. It humbles us. It also positions us. Positions us as we start to pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. It starts to get our life in a position so that we can walk in alignment with God. It starts to position our life to start to receive the daily bread, to start to receive the provision that God has for us. It aligns us. And then the third way that it changes us, it also empowers us. We pray oftentimes, again, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's oftentimes a starting place. And like, God, I've prayed about my temptation, but it just keeps coming. Again, we value our temptation oftentimes more than we value God. We've got to go through the movement of being humbled, getting positioned, and then getting empowered to overcome the things that God is calling us to overcome. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. If we're going to defeat evil, we've got to value heaven more than we value the evil. If we're going to overcome the sin that's in our lives, we've got to know the Father who loves us and displace the temptation with the Father who loves us. You can't dispel darkness with darkness. You can't dispel darkness by just willpower. You've got to turn on the light. And that's what we're doing when we pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're turning on the lights in our lives. It's bringing in the power, and it's positioning us for God to do the thing that God wants to do in your life. The third thing that I want to encourage us with is that prayer is your calling. Prayer is what you are designed to do. The story of the Bible, as we've been reading through from Genesis all the way through now into the New Testament, what we see time and time again is that we were designed to be connected with God. God has been building something into this earth whereby his presence and power can invade this earth. He's been building a story of sacrificing lambs and building a temple and calling a people and calling Abraham and giving him a son and making this people and carving out space through war and through divine miraculous means. God has been creating a space on earth for people and God to dwell together. It's the story of the Old Testament leading up to Jesus Christ. And he's finally like, I'm going to not just call you out, but I'm going to personally go in. And then Jesus is introduced by John as not just the one who will save us, but the one who will baptize us in the Holy Spirit and with fire. The call of God is for each and every one of us to be filled with God, to be personal little temples, walking around New York City to the praise and glory of God, with the presence of God flowing out of us, with the healing of God flowing out of us, with the forgiveness of God flowing out of us, with the hope and grace of God Almighty flowing out of us for this city. That would change the world. Spiritually ripped people who are ready. Come on, get a vision. Get a vision. It starts with a vision. Spiritually strong people, fine. Strong is the new fit. I don't know. Spiritually strong, spiritually ripped, spiritually ready people who are ready to administer the grace of God in every situation. So that when the wheels fall off the wagon at your work, you're the first to say, "Guys, we can. God will see us through this. There's a plan. There's hope. Even now, there's hope." When the family Christmas party, you know, that family member throws the wine glass against the wall and leaves and says, "I hate you," and blah, 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 you're the first to be able to step into that gap and say, "Guys, we can forgive. We can clean this up. There's hope for our family. There's hope for even that family member." When the real life stuff happens, we've got an answer. Because we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got a river of living water flowing out of us, bringing healing, bringing hope, bringing life to every situation that life brings us. This is the vision of God for your life. It's a calling. It's something that God is calling each and every one of us into, not because you're pastors or not pastors, not because of anything that you've done or not done, simply because of his goodness, simply because of his grace. He's pressing it in on each one of us right now. And so I believe that God has got something for us. And I want to call us into something. This week is a week of prayer and fasting here at Every Nation. And so we've got 5 prayer meetings coming up Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. 5 prayer meetings, 7 p.m. at 414 West 51st Street. And I don't know what your schedule can accommodate. Maybe you're able to fully take advantage of this fast and you're not going to eat from now till Friday. God bless you. And you're turning up to all 5 prayer meetings, that's awesome. That's like participation 100. That's the gold star. But listen, that's not for everybody. Some of you guys are like, "I just heard about this thing. I've never fasted a day in my life." That's all right. Here's what I'd call you to do. No Netflix all week, right? Turning it off, whatever binging looks like in your evening routine, turning that off and giving it to the Lord. That's fasting. And maybe making a couple of the prayer meetings that are coming up this week. If you've never fasted, that is a huge step of faith. To say, "God, I'm turning off my entertainment in the evenings. I'm giving that time to you. I'm going to pray and just walk through the grace fasting guide that they're handing out tonight." I believe that that's probably 5 or 10 of us here tonight. You have no plans of doing that. I challenge you. Start your 2020 off right. Spiritually engaged with the Lord. For others, again, it means that you're turning it up. You're going water only, baby, and you're doing that thing. God bless you. I'm probably not joining you this year at that level. I'm fasting. Don't worry. I'm participating. I'm going to be at 3 out of the 5 prayer meetings this week. I'm going to be there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But each one of us have got to engage at the level that God is calling us to, and the level that our schedule allows us to commit to. But I'm putting the call out. Whatever it is that God is calling you to, grab a fasting guide, get a fasting partner, and get involved. Get in this thing. God wants to move through your life. God wants to turn 2020 into the most spiritually alive year of your life. There's some good things that are happening in each one of us. We're going to take communion together. and we're going to do it fast, and we're going to get out of here, because it's like 7:30, and that's when we try to end by, and we're going to try to do this. I've just surprised everybody. Our band, our ushers, our communion, all of that. We're in go time. I just like pulled the emergency. I do that sometimes. Thanks, Amanda. There's this verse at the end of the passage where Jesus says, "The way that you forgive, God's gonna forgive you." If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And I've always been like, God, is my forgiveness from you contingent upon my forgiveness for other people? Like, what is that about? God, I thought you forgave first. And he does. He forgives first. He gave his only son so that we could be forgiven, so that we could walk in newness of life, so that we could step into the spiritual reality that God is calling us into, so that we experience all the benefits of walking with God and walking in our created purpose. But I believe that if we get to the end of a prayer, or get to the end of a time of prayer with God, and we're still holding bitterness in our hearts, we're still angry at somebody, then I think you'd say this: the thing that cost me the most, you've already missed. Go back. The thing that cost me the most, getting you forgiveness, bringing your sin into a state of does not count against them, you've missed it. The most valuable gift of this whole prayer time, don't miss it. I'm not willing to keep going if you're not willing to go back to the forgiveness part. And so this is an opportunity for us to receive the forgiveness of God, to receive a fresh start. 2020 is pregnant with possibility and potential, but it's really just a made-up number. It's pretty arbitrary. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection brings us a real fresh start. Real grace, real forgiveness, real new mercy that doesn't just start each calendar year, but every day. So church, let's stand up together. God, thank you for your forgiveness. God, thank you for the thing that costs you the most. God, we look at Jesus boldly right now. And God, we receive all the work that you did for us on the cross. Lord, set us free. Set us free from addiction. Set us free from what we're looking at. Set us free from what we're constantly in fear of. God, I pray that you set us free right now. And Lord, as we pray this, I also pray, Lord, that we would forgive others. That we'd let go of those who have done us wrong in our work. We'd let go of those who have spoken bad about us in our family. That we'd forgive them, God. We'd forgive the bullies of our life. We'd forgive those who deserve so much of our hatred. We give it to you right now. Jesus, you died on the cross for us. You also died on the cross for them. And God, I pray that each one of us would not just be recipients of grace, but conduits of grace, Lord, spreading the goodness of your forgiveness, spreading the goodness of your love through the whole world right now, God. Let it start with us, but let it also not stop with us. Church, let's open up the top of this cup. This is the bread representing the body of Jesus Christ, the body that would eventually go and die on a cross, would be whipped and flogged, hung naked. It's a spectacle of shame. It's an image of our shame that we bear no more. It was born on the cross. Give it to God right now, wherever is in your life that would hold you back from him, that would hold you back from living confident and free. Give it to him right now. God, we give you the worst. We forgive you the embarrassing thoughts that we wish that we had never even been involved in. We give you it all, the good, the bad, the ugly. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness that was bought for us on the cross. Let's take the body of Christ together. We also have the blood. God, as we take this, your blood, again, an image of your forgiveness, an image of your grace-filled acceptance of each one of us, God, I pray, Lord, that this would not just be for us, but it would also be for those who we're angry at, who have done us wrong, who deserve so much of our hatred, and that, Lord, right now in this moment, we forgive. We give them to you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't rob God of his vengeance. God, we give you it all. We give you our anger. We give you the injustice. We give you our pain. Jesus, wash us new right now. In Jesus' name, let's take the blood of Jesus together.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.